Hillary Clinton campaigned on bombing Iran. Like, there is, like, within the Democratic Party, there has been a huge push to do this at various points, and other points there's not, because
I can't argue this is a fantasy. This is fantasy. It didn't happen under Biden. There's a huge push under the Democratic Party to do it. Then it would have been the perfect time to do it when Iran attacked Israel. I can't think of a better time in all of U.S. history to attack Iran than when Iran starts trying to bomb
there's not
Israel.
A push. So he shot her after she had been hit. After he had been hit by her car.
That's not necessarily true. Have you ever touched your windshield before? Do you climb on the hood of your car to touch your windshield? You're the guy who dies and you're talking to God in heaven and you're like, did you hear this thing about the flat earth? And God's like, the earth's not flat, bro. And you're like, oh, the conspiracy goes even deeper than I thought.
That might be true. I don't know. That this is the most convincing argument you've made today. I think Donald Trump has been, and, you know, thinking both in the counterfactual, now that we know what Trump has done and what kind of hypothesizing what Harris would have done, and at the time, looking back on the decision, I think Donald Trump would have and is being a much better president than Harris would have been. Not that Donald Trump is a good president. And I think that's actually a really important distinction to make. I am, frankly, disgusted by a lot of the things Donald Trump is doing, and I suspect that many of the critiques that Destiny is going to make of Donald Trump are going to be things that I'm going to frankly agree with, and, you know, we're going to sit back and forth and do maybe a fair bit even of Trump bashing. But I think a vote for Harris would have been essentially civilizational suicide, and so I do not regret my vote for Donald Trump, and I think he has been overall a substantially better president. And the way that I know that is by focusing substantially on Kamala Harris's resume and on her opinions, where she was in 2019 listed as the furthest left senator according to a YouGov poll, and her positions have been consistently extremely far left. She has supported mandatory gun confiscation, and I think that would be a disaster for our nation. She supported health care for illegal immigrants when she raised her hand in that 2020 presidential debate for the primaries and Democrats. She said that her plan would fund health care for illegal immigrants. She wanted to decriminalize border crossings. On the transgender issues, she has supported transgender surgeries for inmates. She has supported chemical interventions for children. On the environmental issues, this is probably her most extreme issue, where she supported and was a co-sponsor on the Green New Deal, which included a federal jobs guarantee, which, as we can get into, would frankly destroy the economy. That would be a disaster. It included free health care and housing with no plans for how to fund that or spend it. It was essentially a wish for these things. It talked about 100% renewable energy and upgrading all existing federal buildings. Furthermore, looking at the policies in the Black Lives Matter riots, she was tweeting out bail funds and supporting all of these policies. In the Biden administration, she was border czar, or at the very least heavily involved in the border policies, where we had 10 million new illegal immigrants come in. When you look at her housing policy, she's talking about a $25,000 subsidy. She's talking about essentially backdoor rent controls by preventing renters and other organizations from using algorithms to price out and sort of slowly increase pricing, which rent control always goes badly. It destroys every city it's implemented in. She wouldn't say that she would rule out packing the Supreme Court, which is just a violation of all norms, just complete destruction of what it would be, and would politicize the court to an unbelievable degree. She selected Tim Walz as her vice president, you know, who is Captain Corruption with all of the mass amounts of fraud across Minnesota. Her AI and tech policies are weak. She's talking about enforcing that the benefits of that are shared equitably, about allegedly preventing algorithmic discrimination as a top-down regulation from the government. Every single piece of what Kamala Harris is trying to do is different from the vision of what America is. She does not see America the way the founders saw America. She does not see America the way the voters saw America. This is why she pretended to be substantially more moderate when she was suddenly appointed the nominee with no primary, with no backing, because she felt that she had to do that to get elected. But at her core, who she is, what she stands for, all of these things are the opposite of what Americans want. They are opposite of what is good for America. And again, Donald Trump is weak on a huge number of issues. extremely weak on a great number of things. I don't like the big, beautiful bill. I don't like the spending there. But this is almost equivalent to Biden's spending. I don't like the tariffs. But if Donald Trump wasn't in office, the 2017 tax cuts would have been repealed, which is a wash on whether you're increasing taxes on imports or whether you're increasing taxes on income and on businesses. Either way, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't think he was the drain the swamp candidate. I don't think he balanced the budget. I don't think he did any of the things he promised. But politicians never do the things they promise, and that's kind of to be expected. The things that Donald Trump wanted to do or tried to do or said he would do were going to be good things, and he didn't do them. The things Kamala Harris said she was going to do are all terrible things. And that's why ultimately I think, despite the fact that Donald Trump is a bad president, almost all presidents historically have been bad, and Harris would have been civilizational suicide. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that opening. And folks, before we kick it over to Stephen for his opening statement, if you had not seen at the bottom right of your screen, Destiny versus D'Souza Part 2, Trump pro or con, it's going to be amazing. That's at DebateCon 8 this coming summer, July 25th and 26th in Dallas, Texas. Check out the links in the description box as well as pinned in the live chat. With that, we're going to kick it over to Stephen for his opening. Thanks for being with us. The floor is all yours.
Yeah, I would say the Republican Party is in disarray right now for good reason. Even if there were things that you cared about that you wanted Trump to do, he's probably done all of these worse than what would have happened under Kamala. If you look at trade, you can see that Trump's entire approach to trade has been utterly disastrous. He's undermined the only deal that he really could have taken credit for, which was the renegotiation of NAFTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement. He's blown up trade with our neighbors. He's blown up trade with other countries. He has waffled on sanctions related to Russia and Iran based on disastrous wars that he maybe started or got dragged into, because I don't even know if he's fully coherent enough to actually run the office, which was funny enough because that was the claim that was made about Biden so many times, yet for some reason Biden wasn't dragged into the wars that we're in now because of Trump's inability to stand up to anybody that he perceives to be a strong leader. Our manufacturing jobs are down. Our trade deficits are up. Our relationships and the trade deals that we had with other countries around the world are destroyed. We did not get 100 deals in 100 days. We got zero deals in however many 500 days, however far we're in now. Our GDP growth has stagnated. Our inflation is higher than it should be. Our job creation is non-existent. The border policy is non-existent as well. If you, illegal immigrants were things that you cared about, somehow Trump took one of the most popular issues that Trump was winning on, that the Republicans were ahead on coming into the election, and has like turned almost the entire American population against him on it because of how sycophantically obsessed he was with giving an ungodly amount of funding to ICE and then just pumping these literal overgrown man children into different states with the goal of, I don't know, I guess breaking into people's homes to deport people. And now off the backs of some, you know, killings of American citizens, these people have been literally ran out of states and are incapable of now doing their jobs. They're completely ineffective, despite the $90 billion advance that Trump gave them. Debt was an issue that centrists like to talk about, that conservatives like to talk about. Trump on his own is basically responsible for almost a third of the U.S. debt at this point. Who knows what it's going to look like? Now he's asking for, what, a $1.5 trillion budget for the military, which, funny enough, is about the amount of money that Elon Musk said Doge would find in the U.S. budget. They found none in terms of waste, fraud, or abuse. So all we've gotten is more spending, greater debt, higher deficits, for literally no reason. All of this pain has been self-inflicted. It's not like when Obama came in and was cleaning up after the global financial crisis. It's not like when Biden was coming in and had to clean up after, you know, not only the slowdowns from energy production, everything related to COVID and all the supply shocks from that, but also the starting of two wars, the October 7th stuff in Israel, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. You've got a foreign policy that is a disaster. You've got Donald Trump, who is incapable of standing up to anybody that he perceives to be a large leader, anybody that's a powerful leader. He won't stand up to Netanyahu. He can't stand up to Putin. But if it's a smaller country, he'll bully them around, friend or foe alike. He did it with Maduro in Venezuela, which was a country that was such a huge threat to us that Tulsi Gabbard and nobody else were even, you know, ringing the sirens on how unbelievably destructive these countries supposedly were to the United States. And we didn't find out about this until the day after Trump decided to abduct a foreign leader for God knows what reason. You've got Trump bullying bullying our allies, Greenland among them, but also all of Europe, and then throwing a temper tantrum because NATO won't throw their weight behind us in a war that I'm not even sure why we started. I don't even know if Trump knows why we started it. You've got unprecedented attacks on rule of law. You've got executive orders that have been written to target individual lawyers. It's unprecedented stuff in U.S. history. You've got an attorney general that's supposed to be taking direct orders from the president of the United States for the first time in my lifetime. You've got Trump ordering the Department of Justice to give awards and refunds to people that I would consider enemies of the state, to Ashley Babbitt's family. He's saying that the IRS is going to give him 10, or the DOJ is going to settle a $10 billion lawsuit with him. Just unprecedented amounts of fraud, unprecedented amounts of corruption. I mean, you can go down any of these figures, any of these things. None of these things happened under Biden. There's no reason to think that any of these things would have happened under Kamala. The economy would be in a better shape. Our trade would be in a better shape. Our position against China would be in a better shape. Our position with NATO and the rest of Europe would be in better shape. We wouldn't be at war with Iran. Biden had no trouble saying no to Israel. I don't see why Kamala would have had any trouble saying no to Israel. I'm sure there are some things we can find that might be better under Trump now than they would have been under Kamala, but I think it's gonna be really, really, really hard to find those things.
Thank you very much for that opening as well. Folks, we'll have a Q&A following the open dialogue. If you want to submit a question, you can either at me at Modern Day Debate in the live chat. Otherwise, Super Chat pushes your question to the top of the list. And check out those members' perks, as Modern Day Debate has memberships. Click that join button and check out those perks. With that, thank you very much, gentlemen. The floor is all yours.
Okay, we agree for the rule of law stuff that Donald Trump has weaponized the Department of Justice in a way that hasn't been since Nixon, right?
As to whether it's unprecedentedly done in that way, I'm not certain. I think a lot of the things that were pushed against Donald Trump leading into with the fake Russiagate, with the impeachment over the call to Ukraine with Zelensky, I think there's been the push for his alleged assault of Eugene Carroll.
Wait, so real quick, for the, on the Russiagate stuff, though, that was the FBI, right? Under a Republican leader, Comey, right?
I don't know if Comey's a Republican,
he
but
a Republican.
If
Comey's
you want to claim that
Republican.
Comey is sort of a uniparty centrist figure, like, I'm fine with that.
Comey was a Republican. It's a registered party. He was a lifelong Republican. Appointed, I believe, initially by Bush, I think. But Comey was a Republican. It might have been Obama. But Comey was definitely a Republican. But the investigation into Trump and all of that, that wasn't ordered by, it wasn't ordered by Obama. It wasn't ordered by Biden. The explicit ordering around of the head of the FBI to do specific things, or the ordering of Pam Bondi, the attorney general, to do specific things. This is uniquely Trump.
Yeah, I'm not certain that that's true. I mean, Barack Obama's attorney general referred to himself as Barack Obama's right-hand man. Barack Obama said that he was going to govern with a pen and the phone.
Well, think about it. What was the thing that Obama ordered? Was it Holder to do?
Yeah, Eric Holder. I'm frankly not certain of things that would be, but the media covering of these issues is not the same. And if I want to, I could concede this issue that Donald Trump is worse on this idea. I'm not certain that he's as worse as you claim he is, but the idea that Donald Trump has done more of this, certainly, that's fine.
Well, what part do you think I'm over exaggerating?
Pam Bondi has been an egregious attorney general, and I'm quite happy with the firing of her.
Sure, but I mean, only egregious. She was only fired because she couldn't go far enough with the illegal indictments or the fraudulent indictments, with the illegal appointment of Halligan and the attempt to circumvent the Senate confirmation process. I mean, the suing of law firms that he doesn't like, him writing executive orders to target people that he perceived to be political enemies because they were legally affiliated with Hillary. Like, all of these things are unprecedented. None of these things are things Kamala would have done. None of these things are things that Biden did. We can move on from this if you agree that the rule of law under Donald Trump is significantly deteriorated versus what it would be under
Kamala.
No,
not that the rule of law is essentially deteriorated, but that there's an increase of corruption at the highest level of that. I could believe that. But yeah, the rule of law broadly is essentially deteriorated. I don't think that's true. I think the amount of enforcement on just low-level crime on things like drugs, on other issues, on Cash Patel's FBI's enforcement of these kind of things, I think Donald Trump's actually done a lot better on these issues, and I think Republicans broadly have been a lot better on these issues, and I think Kamala Harris would have been uniquely bad in comparison to someone like Biden on these issues, because she was tweeting out things like bail funds, and because she was supportive of the defund the police movements.
Well, so one, she wasn't supportive of defund the police, number one, and then number two, she retweeted a single Minnesota bail fund one time. Bail is part of the legal process in the United States. Nothing illegal about bail. Number two, and then number three, Kamala's reputation in California was for being too harsh on crime. For one of the big things was cracking down on truancy. So nothing in her record suggests that she would have been soft on crime. She usually got hit from the left on crime-related things. People used to call her Kamala Harris. So I don't think there's any evidence that Kamala would have been worse on crime as a former prosecutor twice, a district attorney and attorney general, compared to Donald Trump, who seems more interested in using his departments to weed out people he considers to be not allegiant to him politically, like when Kash Patel cleaned out the FBI.
The allegiant thing is a serious problem. But Kamala Harris's record is inconsistent across every element of her life. Her time as a very tough top Kamala, and then when she switched into being the furthest left senator in the Senate and being extremely.
But that's not the same job. That's not
exactly, which is the point, because when she was a prosecutor, she was tough on that. But then when she was setting the laws, she no longer was.
What was an inappropriate law that she was setting that would have been soft on crime? Like, it was Donald Trump that did the First Step Act, right? Which was a way to get, like, repeat offenders, I think, eventually out of prison. It was, I mean, the idea that there was some unprecedented soft on crime law that Kamala would have supported, I don't think it's true.
It's in the ethos of what she's doing. It's in the ethos of every single Democratic state, where you see the judges that are appointed by Democrats tend to be more likely to release criminals. It's when you see the prosecutors who are being supported by all of these election funds who want to push for lower sentences. It's when you see that the punishments for a variety of different crimes, ranging from the most brutal thing, sexual assault and rape, even smaller things, places like in Seattle where they're trying to not regulate policing of small level crimes,
so
of theft and other things.
I wouldn't be able to speak to the local level. I don't know if Kamala will be able to influence all that. I do know that where the president can have an effect, I know that we have had two federal killings of U.S. citizens that apparently have no investigations whatsoever. That was what Trump had direct oversight over, right?
Those two people. You want to talk about the killing of Renee Good, where she hit a cop with her car and then was shot through the front windshield?
I'm saying the thing where there was a federal agent that killed a U.S. citizen, and then the federal government protected that agent by shipping them out of the city, not cooperating with local law enforcement, and denied doing any investigation into the shooting.
We saw the video. We know what happened.
Is that adequate? Is that the totality of what happened? Are the four YouTube videos we saw? You don't think there's any more information that might be available to investigators there? Or is that really the extent of what we can investigate?
You might be more to investigate. I'm not sure what the forensic evidence would be. But you can see that we know where the bullet went through. It went through the front windshield. We know from the video that he was hit by the car.
I think it was one went through the front and two went through the side, right?
Yeah. The first one, though, went through the front windshield.
Yeah. So?
So he shot her after he had been hit by her car.
That's not necessarily true. Have you ever touched your windshield before? Do you climb on the hood of your car to touch your windshield?
We saw the video.
We did. Are you trying
to argue that he wasn't hit by her car, or what's the idea here?
I'm 30-70 on he was hit. I don't think he was hit. It's possible that he could have been, but I don't think he was, no.
You don't think he was hit by the...
No.
I mean, at this point, we're at an impasse then, because you and I watched the same video.
That's fine. We can be in an impasse here. It doesn't matter. There should have been an investigation, though, regardless, no matter what. And there wasn't. There was explicitly no cooperation with local law enforcement, and the guy was whisked away from the state, and that was it. Regardless if you think they were hit or not.
She hit him with a car.
We didn't. That's not clear on video.
I encourage
even
everyone
if she did, it
to
doesn't
go
matter.
Watch
yeah,
the video,
people can watch but... it. You can watch. There's tons of compilations of it. But even if he was hit by the car, there still should have been an investigation. This is what an investigation would be for, by the way. And then we could talk about the findings of the actual investigators rather than just what we saw on YouTube videos.
Yeah, I could concede that it would be better to have investigated.
Well,
I'm
not better. It would be.
Nome
it's like their job,
Bongino.
Right? Like that's their job is to do that. Is what we should want, right?
Well, their job is of the ICE agents is to remove illegal immigrants.
Yeah, but the job of the federal government would be to investigate if a federal officer has done a wrong thing here, or at least cooperate with the state government, not hide all the evidence themselves and then refuse cooperation and then whisk the agent away to another state and then not comment on it.
But there's no evidence that he did anything wrong. She hit him with a car.
We can't have any evidence. There was no investigation. how do we know
the
there's evidence? That's not sufficient. You acknowledge that watching a video is not sufficient to investigate a crime, right?
Not sufficient for all things, no.
Okay, so they should have investigated it, right?
Yeah, no, I can say that I can agree with you that it would be better if they had done a broader
investigation. No, not better. That's their job. They needed to. It was a requirement of their job. They should have investigated.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you. Like, we're agreeing on that point,
okay,
that that would
cool.
be better.
Right.
And so
and
the more time that we spend talking about the problems of Donald Trump, the more times we're going to agree.
Okay.
And
if I don't think that would have happened under Kamala. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there would have been ICE agents for $90 billion.
I can agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
that I don't think that would have happened. And the thing that I think broadly that Trump should have done first is he should have been arresting and investigating more of the agitators to begin with, because the unenforced or semi-enforced law is what incentivizes the lawlessness behavior. And so I actually can agree with you that Donald Trump didn't do a good job on this and should have done more and been more aggressive on arresting people who are doing violence against police officers and are agitating police officers.
Okay. I don't think that same type of agitation would have existed if Kamala was president, so we wouldn't have had to worry about it at all.
No, I don't think that would have happened, probably. I don't think agitation would have happened because the action wouldn't have happened because Kamala Harris wouldn't have been deporting people in the same levels.
There would have been more deportations under Kamala, almost certainly, than Trump, because there wouldn't have been any reason for the Republicans to oppose the border bill that Lankford authored to the Senate that was proposed, that was shot down because Trump wanted to keep the border open. Now we have no border bill. We won't get a border bill. And that border bill would have actually been passed under Kamala presidency. Republicans wouldn't have had a reason to oppose it anymore. We would actually be working through the entire asylum backlog because we would have the funding and the additional judges for it, and then we would have a real border. Whereas right now, we don't know how many people have come in because Trump just says the number is zero, which is obviously a lie. So,
no, you don't need to have a border bill in that same way. You can close the border with enforcement and executive action.
But if we're talking about real life things, and we're not just saying that like we need to just close the border. The claim was Trump said over and over again that 30 million people came into this country illegally. Why the fuck would closing the border matter here? We need to get them out, right? Trump said he's only gotten 2 million out. If we take his numbers at face value, even on the same track, he would only get 8 out of 30 million people out. That's 22 million illegals here. That's almost doubling the illegal population. For what? With an additional $90 billion of funding to ICE, makes up like the seventh largest military on the planet. It's like the sixth highest item, I think, in our budget. That's insane. For those results, it's the worst results ever. You could have just funded the asylum judges and process these people and then have them deported.
No, I agree that you need to do better on deportations. But the idea that Kamala Harris would have been doing more deportations, it doesn't make any sense. She advocated for decriminalizing border crossings and reducing deportations. She advocated for health care for illegal immigrants. If your idea is that Kamala Harris is going to be removing more people, it doesn't check out. It's not.
Well, illegal immigrants already have more health care.
It's not what she talked about. It's not what she supported.
She literally, even when they were in the office, I remember the quote, "Do not come." Do not come. Like Kamala was saying this with Biden. Like they would have passed that bill, and they would have, because immigration was a big issue. They were trying to pass it. Biden was trying to pass it in the last year of his presidency. I think they would have passed it under Kamala, and we would have had more funding for it. And I think we would have had it more in control because Democrats would have actually tried to do something about it instead of Trump. You don't believe Trump when he says zero people have come across the border in the past year and a half, right?
Zero, no, but I do believe the border is largely closed. I think the enforcement has gone dramatically up. I think the number of border guards has been more impactful.
Sure.
I think that
but we can't know if Trump is lying about it. How do we even know? Zero people? He's lying. That's a lie, right?
Probably.
But probably. Wait. You think there's a percentage chance that zero people came into this country illegally?
Oh no! In the sense that that is not strictly true, sure. But in the sense that like an exaggeration.
Well, it's not strictly true. It's not true at all. It's a lie. Sure. It's a lie.
Yeah, if you want to call an exaggeration a lie, I'm fine. We can call that a lie then.
Okay.
Like the idea that Trump is a liar, like I'm not going to be thrown off by that idea. Of course, Donald Trump is a liar.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, he's a politician. That's what politicians do all the time. And Trump is actually probably a uniquely bad liar, which might actually be better for the American people that we can notice the lies more often.
So I don't think any politician has lied as much as Trump does. There's a difference between a lie and not like being able to deliver on your campaign promises, but also the whole point of electing Trump was supposed to be that he wasn't a politician. So the fact that he would come in and lie in the worst way possible seems to betray the entire point of why people even voted for him in the first place on the right.
Oh no, I agree. I think that Donald Trump has deeply betrayed the right, and I'm struggling to forgive the Republican Party for having nominated Donald Trump. Like I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Okay, I mean the voters voted for him.
Exactly, which is. Say what you want about that, and that's, you know, we'll see what we get in 28, but I will be voting for someone who was not in this administration in the primary in 28.
Sure, but if you didn't support him this time, or if you think he's doing a bad job now, all of it was foreseeable. Every single thing he's doing now is an easy continuation from his first term. I think it's pretty obvious Kamala would have been better. Even if you think Kamala would have been worse.
Than what Harris would have been doing.
I mean, I don't know. I just disagree, I guess. What's the topic that, where's an area do you think she would have done worse on?
Oh, well, we just went over both crime and immigration. We could talk about...
Well, on the highest levels for crime, like Donald Trump has probably been one of the most corrupt presidents in U.S. history in terms of pardoning all
of us. But the amount of crime in America is down dramatically. The FBI is doing a much better job of investigating. Drug ODs are way down.
These things are all going down, right? It's like, this is such a comical
point.
They have
continued to go down at higher rates.
That's good that they've continued to go down. But like, you realize that the very argument that you're making that they bragged about the numbers on was Pam Bondi and I think Kash Patel posting a chart showing how far it had fallen. And it was through 2024, and it ended at 2025, which was when Biden was still in office. So I mean, like, yeah, it's gone down, but it's continued to go down. Yeah, But I don't think Trump was uniquely good.
So it spiked under Biden, and then Biden began to fix it. And now we're looking at some of the lowest numbers of crime across the country ever.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a result of anything that Trump has done.
No, it's the direct result of the more rigorous and more involved FBI.
The FBI has
been very good on this kind of issue.
The majority of crime is investigated and enforced at the state level. So the federal investigators this is pretty rare. Like, the vast majority of people are in state prisons and it's state crime. I don't think that.
Sure, but you have cooperation across from the FBI. You have things
in a minority,
like mobilization.
A very small percentage of crime, right?
You have things like the mobilization of the National Guard into cities, and you have just the bully
pulpit. Which was a disaster.
The idea of having a president which is perceived as tough on crime.
I don't know if Trump is perceived as tough on crime, but the National Guard mobilizations, I think, were ruled illegal by the Supreme Court. And National Guard wasn't even able to arrest people. That's not their job. They can't even do it. So I think they just basically stood around. So we just paid a bunch of money for nothing. I think that having like real crime enforcement, I think, would have been better than the show we got from the Trump admin.
No, I mean, I can agree it could do better, but I can't even imagine what you're talking about. This idea that it would be better under Harris, that was better under Biden. Like,
the crime levels are substantially lower now than they were under Biden. Substantially lower. And if you look at the if we think of like important investigations or whatever, like all this Minnesota stuff that they're crying about, they're not going to have any new crazy indictments, I bet, from that, because all that Nick Shirley video stuff was garbage. But the big indictments that you even have for Minnesota that you can talk about was under Biden's Department of Justice. This was Biden's DOJ. It was their investigations. It was a huge investigation. It was huge, huge indictments. Like, yeah, I don't know what are the big like FBI investigations that the Trump DOJ is behind right now. They're potentially the Charlie Kirk assassination, if that's to be believed. I can't think of any huge thing other than the purging of all the people that they perceive to be not loyalists in the FBI right now. We had a horrible mishandling of everything related to the Epstein file stuff, obviously. That's been a disaster.
I mean, the Epstein stuff would have been exactly the same under any other administration. It probably would have been handled better slightly on the PR. But the bad PR, I think, is actually probably good for, you know, reducing trust in the internal state.
Wait, how could it possibly be? The Pam Bondi and the FBI were ordered to redact Trump's name and names of his friends from the Epstein files. I don't even think Biden is in the Epstein files, is he? How could it have possibly been the same? What would the similar order even have been?
Because you have to explain to me why the Democrats would have known about, and you know, there would have been strong evidence inside the files charting back to at least 2008, but probably long before that, where the first investigation of Epstein, wherein they have evidence of Donald Trump allegedly doing various assaults and other things, and just chose not to investigate under Barack Obama.
I don't know, but
and chose not to investigate under Joe Biden.
Democrats weren't making those claims. All the bombastic claims about the Epstein files came from the Republicans. It was Bongino on podcasts. It was Kash Patel on podcasts. It was Trump and Pam Bondi had the whole binder handout. The Republicans are the ones that made this a huge issue, but then they failed to deliver on it. Democrats never made this.
It unbelievably is a huge issue, and then they failed to deliver on it. But the idea that Republicans are incorrect about it being a huge issue, like, there is a large pedophile ring that is not being investigated. It wasn't investigated under Bondi. It wasn't investigated beforehand. All this stuff going back to the 2008 investigation with Alex Acosta, who later then became Trump's labor secretary, and like the disaster that has ran from Trump, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Biden. This idea that like Trump is uniquely bad on this does not check out.
Okay,
like, Trump is terrible.
I don't know how you can say that he's not uniquely bad on this when they had a literal thing called the Epstein Act that they've circumvented at every step, and when he's literally like, we don't have any evidence of any other president ordering their DOJ or FBI to censor or redact their names from Epstein files, right?
No, but we do know that the people, when Pam Bondi was at the hearing and they asked all those people, has anyone talked to you? And no one had talked to them. The alleged assaults that these people are talking about are 10, 20 years old. And so it's not just Pam Bondi who didn't investigate. You have to now explain why Joe Biden why Joe Biden's attorney general didn't investigate. You have to explain why Eric Holder didn't investigate. You have to explain why, when they are disliking Donald Trump this much and they have credible or at least semi-credible allegations of Donald Trump doing
Biden's pedophile and other attacking behaviors. Biden couldn't investigate because Epstein was dead. It was all finished by that point. He was already convicted. It would have been on Trump to release it after Epstein died. He was in jail. He killed himself, or whatever you believe on that. But it was at that point, it was up to Trump to release it. Why would Biden go back and dig through like everything? Like, how can you say it wasn't investigated when Epstein was literally convicted and sent to prison?
because that's what they said. That all of those people said that no one had interviewed them.
Well, that, I mean, that wasn't part of their investigation, I guess, then. Maybe they didn't feel like they had the evidence to question them, or they didn't have the evidence to go after anything criminally related to any of those people. But the Democrats never made those claims. It was the Republicans that did and then failed to deliver on it.
Right, but those claims are obviously the case that there is something going on with the Epstein files.
How is that? Why do you think that? How do you know they didn't just lie?
How do I know that all these accusers didn't just lie?
No. How do you know that Bongino and Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and Trump didn't lie when they said that there was all this stuff in the Epstein files? Maybe that evidence just wasn't there. It could be that the people were assaulted or whatever, but it just wasn't in the Epstein files or whatever came up with that.
Because the evidence of things that we've already seen, things that are public, are disgusting and unacceptable.
I don't think there's been any strong evidence that anybody, that there was like more than what was ever prosecuted for. I mean, there've been like some sketchy emails and some stuff that's kind of gross in reference to like 19-year-olds and stuff. But in terms of like trafficking of minors or whatever, I don't think there were any smoking gun emails that got released. It's just a bunch of stuff that makes Trump and everybody around him look really bad.
There is a huge amount of I'm almost struggling to understand what you're talking about right now.
Well, what's a smoking
gun
email? What's like a thing?
Les Wexner,
connections? It's not illegal. It's not illegal to have connections. What's an illegal thing that happened? That was we found out in an email that nobody prosecuted anybody for.
No, it's not that we know that there's anything there yet. It's that they haven't explained all the things that that need to be explained.
You don't have to explain anything. It's an investigation. If there's nothing that you can find that's indictable, then that's it. You don't have to. You're not preparing to make an explanation to the public about an investigation. Criminal investigations aren't usually made public. It was the Trump admin that promised to do that.
It's the admins across the entire span who gave Jeffrey Epstein the sweetheart deal back in 08. It's administrations all across the space who decided not to investigate Les Wexner, who have decided not to prosecute any or not to investigate any of the strange ties to the FBI, to the Mossad, to the CIA, to all these organizations across it. This is a very clear problem that needs to be explained to the American people as to how he was making his money. That's never been explained. As to who he was trafficking all these girls to, were they all being trafficked to himself? That's not been explained. As to what his associations with the fact that half of these high-level government officials were spending all this time at the island, that they had this Lolita Express that was widely regarded and widely known as to what Jeffrey Epstein was doing.
Let's assume that everything you're saying is true. I can just look at the behavior of both parties. Bill and Hillary Clinton both said that they would be glad to testify to literally everything publicly. Biden is not listed anywhere in the Epstein files whatsoever. Donald Trump won't testify anywhere. Donald Trump has admitted, probably due to senility more than anything else, that Epstein was hiring girls out of Mar-a-Lago. He literally said this himself. And it's Donald Trump's Department of Justice that is redacting files, is releasing stuff incorrectly sometimes, and is outing potential victims, has failed to comply with the Epstein files law passed by Congress. And it was Trump in his first term that gave Acosta the Department of Labor Secretary position, knowing that Acosta was the one who got on the sweetheart deal. Like, all this shit ties back poorly to this, ties to Trump. I just don't see what we're talking about when we're saying, I don't know how this pins to the Democrats at all. They're all willing to testify openly about it. They've called over and over again to release it over and over again. It's Trump that I don't know. It just seems to be really bad on the Republican side. I don't know how both sides are the same here. Can you think of a single Republican that said they'd be glad to testify openly about their position in the Epstein files?
No.
Okay. But Hillary and Bill Clinton did, right? Kamala Harris isn't in the Epstein files, right? Biden wasn't in the Epstein files.
No, but the fact that they haven't investigated the behaviors of Donald Trump, there are credible allegations or semi-credible allegations of Trump being involved in all of this stuff.
Yeah,
and they didn't
though,
investigate that.
You might not have anything there that can be criminally indicted or criminally charged. It's like
they didn't even investigate it. So
how do you know they didn't even investigate?
Yes.
Then how do they charge Maxwell? How do they charge Epstein?
They investigated only Epstein and Maxwell, and they avoided investigating the people around him.
Why? What would be the point? If Epstein was the one collecting the blackmail, why would that be the only guy you would go after? Wouldn't he have blackmail on every other
That's
person?
That's my point. I don't know.
Couldn't we just think of like the simplest thing? This is the guy they investigated. They found the most chargeable material. They charged him, and then that was it. Doesn't that make the most sense?
No, because there's a million loose ends that doesn't explain at all.
That's real life.
It doesn't
sometimes,
demonstrate
though.
How he had
you
his
don't
money.
Find
it doesn't demonstrate how
he's
got his
investigated
early
for
jobs.
How
it doesn't
he's,
demonstrate what he was doing at Bear Stearns.
He wasn't
it
investigated for how he earned his money.
That
it's not an illegal thing to have a lot of money. Usually not investigated for how you earned your money. Unless he's committing tax fraud.
We know how rich people got money. We know how Elon Musk got his money. We know how, like, all of the, you know, we know how the other people at Bear Stearns, we know why they were hired there. We know what their credentials were. We know what they were doing when they were there. We know what, like,
all these guys are working at publicly traded companies. So, and they have massive ownership stakes in it. Of course, we know how Elon Musk, has money. I'm just saying that
people having mass clients for Jeffrey Epstein.
We can say that we don't like whatever happened with the Epstein files, and maybe I wouldn't grant this, but you could even make the argument that it could have been botched or bad on both sides. But it has clearly been worse under Trump. They violated the Epstein Files Act. Bondi was helping Patel to redact names from Trump of Trump and his associates out of the Epstein files. They were releasing some Epstein files that were outing victims that weren't supposed to be, and they were. They were promising these huge releases. You know, it was under Bondi that those 11 loser influencers went to the fucking house and came out with the binders saying Park One. This all happened under Trump. So we can say that maybe it would have been bad under both. But how could Kamala have done it worse? I don't know how you could have done it worse than Trump's done it.
PR crisis? No, the PR crisis has been a disaster.
And the handling.
The PR crisis is not the concern. The concern is the mass pedophile ring that isn't being investigated.
I understand, but I'm saying Trump is doing it worse then, if that's the case. Do you think that Epstein died? Do you think Epstein committed suicide?
Probably not. He might have.
Okay, wait. If you don't think he committed suicide, that happened under Trump too. So how could Kamala possibly have done any worse here than Trump?
No, I think it would have been the same pretty much. That's my point about this, is that's a wash. When you brought up Epstein, I was saying that's like this entire thing, and then you're trying to say that it's not even that big of a deal. And I'm saying, no, it's an enormous deal, and it's such an enormous
deal
on both parties.
Well, no, I'm saying, regardless of being disgusting both parties, I'm just saying I don't know how it's not worse for Trump in every single way. Like, you're mad that other people weren't charged or investigated or convicted or whatever. He was arrested. It happened under Trump. It was in 2019 that he killed himself, right? When was he thrown in prison? Wasn't it 2019
as well?
So then this would have been Trump's DOJ. It would have been Trump's...
Right. Well, it's good that Trump's DOJ finally got him in. That's actually a good thing for Trump. Trump's also the guy who called the cops on him in 2006. Jeffrey Epstein was cooperating with certain Democrats trying to get him.
First of all, Trump didn't call the cops. That's a total lie. Number one. But number two, if you're saying it's a good thing under Trump, but you're saying it was bad that they didn't investigate anything else around it. If you really think the investigation was so fucked and botched, that would have been Trump's DOJ. It would have been Trump's investigation.
Right. So it's marginally better to get the one guy than it is to get nobody.
That was
substantially better to get the one guy than it is to get nobody.
But do you think that Kamala would have done worse?
Are you talking about whether Kamala would have been worse if she was like in 2016 then? Because now we're talking about the...
Or Biden or Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I think they would have done nothing about it.
But how
the same way that Barack Obama did nothing about it for 8 years when Joe Biden was vice president.
Didn't he already have his sweetheart deal under Bush by then?
Right, and I think that's disgusting, and I don't oppose.
Sure, I think Obama could have done anything, but I mean, like, what incentive if Hillary or Harris or Biden were president, and you've got the Epstein guy who's tied to so many Republicans? Wouldn't you have every incentive to go even harder on that investigation?
Yes, that's kind of my point.
But they couldn't. He was dead by the time Biden.
So many Democrats.
He was dead by the time Biden got into
office. The government and the entire government is covering for this idea.
But I'm saying that by the time Biden came into office, Jeffrey Epstein was dead, and it was Trump's DOJ that handled the Epstein investigation and indictment.
Now you're trying to switch back and forth. I asked you, this is why I checked with you, would it have been better if they were president in 2016? And then you said, sure. And now you're saying by the time Biden got to office, they did nothing for 8 years under Barack Obama.
No, well, 2016 to 2020, am I incorrect? 2017 to 2021 was Trump.
Right, and Trump's the guy who finally brought him in.
Yeah, but you're saying the investigation was botched and fucked. Because they only got Epstein.
And that's a better investigation than no investigation. Like, we're splitting hairs on this idea.
Well, no, but I'm saying if they would have done, I don't know why you think Kamala would have done a worse investigation or Biden.
I think Kamala would have done no investigation.
How? Why?
Because they didn't do anything under Barack Obama for 8 years.
Why do you think they did anything under Trump?
I don't actually know.
It was because a liberal cuck media outlet, I think it was either the New York Times or somebody else, wrote an article on Epstein, and it's what blew the whole thing up again. It was literally a liberal media outlet that wrote an article on him, and then it was kind of off the Me Too stuff, and then everything blew up, and then the Trump DOJ, you know, dragged their feet along, and they got him arrested, indicted, convicted, and then he killed himself, or somebody killed him. It was the Miami Herald, sorry. But there's no reason to think that, like, to Hillary or to Kamala or to Biden, this would have been a gift to have so many different Republicans tied to this guy, way more than Democrats were. They keep trying to throw Bill Clinton on him over and over again. But Bill and Hillary both said that they would be glad to testify in an open environment and answer questions in an open environment. Nobody in the Republican side has made the same admission.
And there's a huge number of Republicans tied to him. There's a huge number of Democrats tied to him. He was cooperating with certain Democratic congressmen during the 2017 impeachment of Donald Trump. He was involved, you know, he's emailing all of these top Democratic donors. He's involved in a huge number of these things.
He's talking to people. That's fine. And sending emails. The one guy that he was working with the most to do a whole rehabilitation tour documentary was Steve Bannon. And Steve Bannon was the head was a Trump surrogate. He was active in the Trump White House and he was the head of one of Trump's campaigns. So who had
Insane. It should be investigated.
I know, but I'm saying however bad you think it is, it's way worse on the Trump side than it is on the Democrat side.
Yeah, the Steve Bannon thing is worse on the Trump side. That's true.
Okay. And like the investigation was done under Trump where nobody else was found. And it was only started because of a liberal outlet that did the reporting on it. And then he died under Trump. And then the Epstein files all were released under Trump, which all had Trump's name redacted because Trump was so heavily involved in it. And the Democrats are saying, we'll testify openly about it. There's no way that Trump comes out better here than Biden or Kamala or Clinton would have.
He's the only guy who actually arrested him because
only because
the
Miami Herald wrote that article. If it was a Democrat, they would have investigated him too. Why not?
For the same reason that they didn't investigate him in 2014.
There was no article in 2014 outing him or revealing the behavior.
What do you mean outing or review? Everyone knew who Jeffrey Epstein was the whole time.
But it wasn't known to the public or to investigators at that point, arguably. Unless
you're saying to investigators, the first investigation had already happened.
Yeah, and he was arrested, given and indicted, and put into jail for it.
But if given a ridiculous sweetheart deal.
So you're saying that Donald Trump was in prison?
That it, because he was tied to intelligence. As to whether that's true or not, we don't know. But that's what was reported.
Did Trump's DOJ know then for 2 or 3 years that Epstein was trafficking people and just didn't do anything?
Yeah, I think so. And that's part of the problem.
Okay. I don't think there's any way to prove any of this. On everything that's on paper and everything that's been publicly released, it's the Trump administration has fucked this up way worse than any other administration. The only way I can see any point to your argument is if I assume that there was hidden evidence that the DOJ knew under Obama, but they decided not to pursue. But we have no evidence for this whatsoever. So I can't even evaluate the claim.
The evidence that I know publicly is evidence that they definitely knew.
You don't know that? How do you know that?
How do I know that they didn't know the things I know?
No. How do you know that the Obama administration had a whole bunch of investigatory material that they were sitting on and not doing anything with?
Because the people who were allegedly victims of it said they weren't even investigated.
Yeah, but I don't know what claims they were making or if these were actionable things that could be investigated. If it was the case, if we're to believe Tulsi Gabbard and the current Trump admin, that there was this huge Russiagate scandal that you brought up in order to try to make Trump look bad, why wouldn't they have gone after him on the Epstein stuff if they could have thrown that at him? Wouldn't that have been a way easier and better
thing? That's kind of my point.
But they didn't do it, which means they probably didn't have the information. Your only point is to make everything an even deeper conspiracy. When I say, wouldn't this make sense? You go, no, the conspiracy is even deeper. You're the guy who dies and you're talking to God in heaven and you're like, did you hear this thing about the flat earth? And God's like, the earth's not flat, bro. And you're like, oh, the conspiracy goes even deeper than I thought. Like, no, like at some point we got to say like, okay, maybe there just wasn't the evidence there yet. That's why nobody pursued it.
Yeah, I mean, we're at an impasse on this. I
agree we're at an impasse, but you have no evidence.
Different views on Jeffrey Epstein.
That's fine, but we have no evidence for your claims, and I have all the evidence for every single thing that I've said. So I don't know how. I mean,
we have tremendous evidence about everything involved with Jeffrey Epstein not making sense.
If
you're trying to Occam's razor.
No, if we have tremendous evidence, name one piece of actionable evidence that the FBI had in its possession before Obama left office in 2017 that they didn't act on.
They didn't even investigate for these things. I have all these questions.
Questions are enough for a criminal investigation. That's not a crime. It's not a crime to have money.
If you are tied to child trafficking and you have an enormous amount of money that we don't know how you got it, that's a really important question. If it looks like it might be the case that you were linked to child sex trafficking,
he wasn't investigated for sex trafficking under Obama's term. What do you mean? You think that once he was investigated for trafficking under Bush and put in jail, that they were going to keep track of his money for the rest of his life?
That they would look into his money then?
For the rest of his
Absolutely,
life?
Absolutely, they should have done
no,
that.
No, that's not how that works. If you get arrested for a crime and you're in jail and you serve your time, they're not going to investigate you forever after that. You need probable cause to get subpoenas from judges. You can't just infinitely investigate a person for just in case.
Not infinitely investigate, but you should look in. You should have looked into it then, and they didn't look into it then. And then they should have flagged that there was a disaster that wasn't looked into. I mean, he's connected to an enormous number of cabinet officials across the administrations.
Okay. I mean, like, you can say this, but you just have – there's no evidence for any of this. So I don't know how to – I can't possibly –
There's no explanation for all of these problems.
You're trying to say
I don't have evidence yet. And the fact that it's not investigated is the evidence.
The evidence is that they didn't do it. So if they didn't do it, the first assumption is going to be because they didn't have probable cause to get a warrant to search for any of it. Now, if you want to say they did have the information, but they didn't for some reason pursue subpoenas or anything, well, then you have to explain to me, first of all, how you even knew they had the information, which you can't, and then why they wouldn't pursue it, which you also can't.
Yeah, because he's tied to intelligence, because he's linked into these government official organizations.
Well, then why did Trump investigate him?
I don't actually know.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Investigated.
It doesn't make sense. You can't have it all ways and all points in time. That doesn't make sense. It just can't be that way. Obama wasn't in the Epstein files, was he?
Is to Donald Trump on this as well.
If your objection is to Donald Trump, then Kamala would have been better.
No, because it's okay. We have to change the topic on this because we're going in circles at this point, and you know people will decide how this went. I guess.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the Green New Deal?
I'm not a big fan of it, but it never got passed. So, I don't...
Right. Well, Kamala Harris tried to pass it though. That was her. She co-sponsored the bill.
Yeah, but I don't think this ever had any meaningful support in the Senate or in the House. So.
No, but that is the views that she had. You're talking about the problems in the economy. She has these views of trying to control the entire economy to reshape it in a green direction.
Yeah, I think that would be bad. But I don't think that a Democrat would have ever gone through with this. Biden didn't do anything remotely similar to this, and Trump has shown himself to be more of an authoritarian when it comes to command economy style control than anything a Democrat has done. I think that even if Kamala would have wanted to do this, I think an advisor or somebody would have told her, "Hey, this is really stupid. Don't do this," and she wouldn't have. So I wouldn't even be worried about it.
The entire Green New Deal? No, but the implications of what she wants to do is in this direction. So I guess we agree on this point that Kamala Harris is worse on green environmental energy.
No, Trump is absolutely worse. I think that polling all support for green energy because of some weird obsession with things that you can set on fire is insane to me. I think that we would have a better energy policy under Kamala. We should be dramatically exploring alternative sources of energy, especially we can see today with how reliant we are on fossil fuels and everything else. I don't know why. I'm not saying we have to stop burning fossil fuels. There's a reason why we became a net exporter of energy under Biden. But the idea of just dropping all green energy, that's like really stupid, right?
No, spending federal energy. I mean, it's not that we should ban green energy or something like that.
Okay, but the Trump
but I don't
admin
think
has
we
had
have
a hostile...
any federal subsidies or spending on green energy.
Why? Don't we want to get those industries started? Isn't that really important?
It would be important that they get developed for sure, but it is not sufficiently important that you need to subsidize that because subsidies not always, with near zero objection, make the markets worse. They warp the market, they make it less efficient, and they end up dismantling what is supposed to be developed in the most efficient way possible. You end up with like the Solyndra disaster and all kinds of things like this. You can't subsidize and because you remove the profit incentive or you change the profit incentive to now be shielded from market forces, and you don't get the same kind of development or same kind of improvements.
So do you think it was a huge mistake that we basically jump-started Tesla with subsidies?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so subsidies can be valuable sometimes because there might be new industries that have massive investment costs or that have time to spin up that if you wait for the market to organically arrive at that solution, you might be so late to the market that you're no longer competitive in that aspect. It might be worth it to subsidize to jumpstart it, or there might be national security implications for why you want to jumpstart a particular industry. So I think it's okay to subsidize green energy. China has built more than the rest of the world combined at this point. I think there's probably a good reason to do it. I don't know why you would abandon that field completely.
You ban that field completely because you don't actually need to have the subsidy to incentivize the creation if you allow for the profit incentive to work. If you cut the taxes, if you don't have things like Sherman Antitrust Act that are ultimately going to strip away the efficiency that gets developed by creating something. Like when you have a field that has an intensely high cost of entry, once you get there, you get an intense amount of money. But that's because you often can have an oligopolist or a near monopolist control over that field. And when you try to, at least at the beginning, until it becomes more and more ubiquitous, when you have all these government regulations insisting that we can't allow that, now you have to, because you have one government policy, which dismantles the society, dismantles the economy, changes the market, you then have to fix that problem by inserting a new kind of subsidy, which is then going to warp it further. It's a government cycle of causing more disaster.
Yeah, it is warping, but the warping here we're trying to get is an investment in green energy with the idea that in the future, hopefully the cost of manufacturing it will go down, which they have. But you want to be on the forefront of developing that rather than waiting for the rest of the world to develop it and then just having to import from other people because now they all subsidized it early on to make early investments in it. And now they're reaping the rewards of having the manufacturing, the production, and the know-how for how to deploy it. Why would we wait to be late to the game on that because we are against subsidies or something?
Because your subsidy is always going to redistribute wealth from something that you think it's going to take a small amount of wealth from a huge number of spaces and insert it into a space that it, that you, like, as a high level, almost godly like figure, think it works. Yep. But the central planning never, ever ends up in better outcomes. And the reason that people think it comes up in better outcomes is because you have an entire, the entire field gets a very small reduction in their ability to have a very visible benefit in one field. And that net impact comes out worse. You end up developing an economic wedge in your market and creating an inefficiency.
Do you think that the atomic bomb subsidies and all the research and the subsidies for splitting the atom were a mistake in the United States? Should we have waited for the free market to solve that?
I think when you're in a war-like situation is a potential exception for the idea that we need to have this for war.
You don't think that having your
Although
own
I'm
independent
not entirely
energy grids?
Convinced that's true. And I'm frankly undecided back and forth on whether things like subsidized for the atomic bomb would have been necessary.
You don't think you can ever subsidize your way ahead of an opponent?
I think the only time that would be worthwhile to do that would be when you're in an active war situation where lives are actively at stake if you don't get there.
Couldn't there be perverse incentives to where you're constantly incentivized to make these short-term investments because you're just always going to be getting paid more, but there might be like a long-term investment that if you could endure the long-term investment, eventually you're going to surpass whatever revenues or profits you would have made by doing the long-term investment?
No, these incentives do not exist because the long-term, the players who take the long-term strategy win in the long-term. These incentives
might
appear
to exist in the
short term,
but they have to remain
solvent. They lose long-term.
You don't know that. They have to be solvent in the long-term. There might be a whole bunch of other coordinated industries as well. It might be that you could make some investment in green energy that would pay back in 15 or 20 years, but what individual actor is going to make that investment? You might not find a person who's willing to back you with that much capital. And there might also need to be public coordination that goes along with that as well, because you got to be able to connect into public energy grids that may or not be able to support the type of energy that you want to transfer along the grid. Like, do you think China's making a mistake right now with their massive investments in green energy? Has that been a misstep and a misplay
yes.
by China?
I think that the fascist redistribution of wealth that happens in China for these purposes, I'm an Austrian economics person. I believe strongly in allowing for the market to find the most efficient usage of wealth. And I think that China is reducing their ability to develop in other places. And they're becoming extremely developed in the thing that they are focusing extremely hard on. And their people are getting more wealthy as they get more capitalist. But overall, the people of China are still very poor, especially in West China. And a lot of the abilities to create some of these developments are the product of using an extraction of this wealth out of West China. Like, this is the problem.
I understand what you're saying, you
have to take it from others.
I understand that. But like this would be an impasse, but like the entire field, I'm pretty sure even if we found some Austrian economists, they would disagree with you. There are things that you can make investments into that for a variety of reasons, the free market might not be capable of making investments into, especially when we're talking about energy markets, which are largely government kind of approved anyway, right? Like the infrastructure publicly is usually ran by or owned by a single entity because it wouldn't make sense to duplicate the infrastructure. The cost of entry is incredibly high, and the greater the barriers there are to entry into a market, the less likely there is to be good competition or innovation in that market. Energy sources themselves are usually owned by governments. I don't know if like a private owner, it's not like the gold rush or the oil rush of the 1800s. I don't know when the fuck we're going to California looking for gold or oil. Like, it's not like we can just do that. So all of these things are licensed by the government anyway. Like, I just don't think this is a great area where the free market can just come in and magically solve for things. I think we probably have to be a little bit more forward thinking, especially when you're thinking all of our energy markets are already heavily subsidized anyway. So I don't even know where green energy is coming.
That shouldn't happen. That's what we're talking about, is not subsidizing those energy markets anymore.
Don't you think it might be important to ensure some level of stability in those energy markets for national security purposes? That like letting some of those markets...
No, I think that there's an extreme incentive to be the financial company that is providing that balance. And I think the fact that there is a difficult barrier to entry allows for the company that does ultimately end up entering it to have a monopolistic or near-monopolistic ability to then generate generate actual economic profit. And so the incentive for the 10, 20 long-year investment term, I mean, people buy, you know, 20-year bonds and stuff. Like the idea that like people aren't going to make an investment because it's really far away. It's just not the truth. And in fact, the people who are
Hold on,
extremely
wealthy
why are
you saying
20-year
bonds are literally guaranteed? This is almost like a cash equivalent investment. Like, this is not the same thing as a risky investment into a new alternative energy type that may or may not be supported in the future. I mean, subsidies are powerful things that allow you to control markets. There's a reason why when we negotiate trade deals, real ones, not these weird tariff ones, why when you negotiate trade deals, part of those trade deals are regulating the subsidy markets in other countries. Like, these
I think that's absurd. I don't see any reason to, like, if Germany wants to subsidize a particular field where then they are taxing their own citizens to pay for the development of something that we can then use, I support that fully. I have zero objection ever to another country taxing their citizens to invent products that I can then use.
You can say that, but there are times when as much as I might not like it, even protectionist trade policy can be highly beneficial. There are huge investments that Taiwan made in their semiconductor manufacturing industry, and it's the only reason why anybody in the world even gives a fuck about that, the island. The World War II, post-World War II Japanese economy was highly protectionist. It helped them grow an entire field of electronics that were highly competitive and sometimes superior to the rest of the world. I mean, there are times when protecting certain markets can be beneficial because you can't always be able to compete with the rest of the world market at every single point in time. If you're just going to take the position,
these are places of countries that had been under non-capitalist systems who were suddenly under semi-fascist, mostly capitalist systems. The economic booms that happened in both Taiwan and Japan are not the product of their government interventions. They're the product of the reduction of government interventions when you're losing Hirohitoism and when Chiang Kai-shek and the fascists in China are escaping mainland China to then go and form a mostly capitalist country in Taiwan.
Okay, let's assume that everything, let's say that I grant every single thing you're saying. Can you think of a more protectionist, more socialist, more authoritarian or fascist economic policy than Donald Trump buying golden shares in U.S. companies?
Oh, no. I think that was something that Harris would not have done.
Then whatever you care about the Green New Deal,
argument
then.
Against Donald Trump.
Yeah, then whatever you care about the Green New Deal, Trump is worse on this than Harris would have been.
No, that's definitely not the case.
Do you agree with the tariffs, the worldwide tariffs on every single country on the planet?
No, but I don't agree with those are taxes. And the Donald Trump did push for the 2017 tax cut, so that's basically a wash. The economic development
that we saw
under
Trump
won.
Wait, how is that a wash?
Because if we didn't have Trump right now, then the 2017 tax cuts would have expired.
Okay. Do you think the tariffs are better than the tax
cuts? And so
then
we would have added back those taxes. And so the tariffs are a tax, which I do not like. And
yeah, but if you
want to
talk about,
I do like.
If you want to talk about market distortionary effects, what do you think is more market ruinous, the tariffs or taxes? Like progressive
tariffs
income tax
are taxes.
Tariffs are not overlaid on the market. They are. Hold on. Do you believe that a income tax is as market distortionary as a tariff?
An income tax is not going to distort an individual market as much. It is going to distort the U.S. economy similarly.
Similarly?
Yes.
Because isn't most of the spending and everything that's done in the U.S. done by businesses and commercial stuff anyway? That's all going to be written off as part of tax expenditure, as part of non-tax stuff. It's going to be part of the expense of doing business regardless. Are the income taxes here really heavily distorting the market in the same way that tariffs are? That's causing a shift of who knows what all across the entire world, where it's just a raw tax that all these
When you talk about distorting of the market, it's not that the tariffs. So tariffs shift wealth from one industry to another industry by taxing a particular industry higher or less. And so they do have a different distribution of it, and that is a problem. But the income taxes end up just taxing benefits. They end up taxing income. They end up taxing the idea of productivity altogether, and they end up increasing the amount of leisure rather than the amount of consumption hours that any person is selecting towards. I mean, this is your basic Laffer curve idea of reducing your productivity by increasing the taxes. And so the tariffs are going to distort the market by shifting power from one place to another place, shifting money from one place to another place in ways that they shouldn't do, in ways that are bad, in ways that I oppose. An income tax is going to shift the amount of labor and effort and all kinds of things that people put in favor of not paying that tax.
So one, I'm not fully convinced. Two, Laffer curve has to do with what's your optimal rate of taxation to balance the percentage taxation you have with the amount of income that you collect. So can you raise
it?
But
the reason that works is because when you increase the taxes, you decrease the productivity.
Sure. We can make that argument, but what is our evidence that when we look at like the tariffs versus the income taxes, why are we assuming that like boil this down into a real world example of like when is an American trying to earn less money because of like an income tax?
Yeah, so this is not about a direct incentive in the way that you're consciously thinking about it, but it is in your productivity and it is in your conscious your
how are
unconscious
you defining productivity?
Decision-making.
What do you mean by that? Productivity is just the amount of like goods or services produced by a unit of hour or whatever from a laborer. How is it? Boil this down to me.
Not your productivity per hour, your productivity per day. And so the amount of hours that you're going to work, the amount of investment that corporations are going to put into things, as you're talking about the problems.
Wouldn't taxes incentivize investment? Because you would invest in order to avoid the taxes. If I've got a corporate tax rate of 30%, but I know that any reinvestment I make in my business is going to be deductible, wouldn't that encourage greater investment.
So that's a distortion there, right, exactly what you're talking about, where you are incentivizing certain kinds of behaviors, but some kinds of investments are tax deductible, other kinds of investments are not tax deductible. Frankly, I'm not convinced a tax deduction should be a thing at all to begin with, because those are all distortionary. But if you're
okay,
going
so then
to...
Okay, so how's a way that like this, like what it kind of, like cash this out in a real example for me. Like, okay, the Trump tax cuts are gone. Like, give me an example of how is this going to hurt the market? Like a real life example, how is it going to hurt like the way that people conduct themselves or whatever?
Yeah, so for example, you know, imagine that you are trying to decide whether you're going to invest in something risky. If it pays off, then you get to go and own this corporation, which makes lots of money and pays a lower corporate tax rate because of the 2017 rate. And so the incentive for you to go and risk that money is now higher, because in the world where you're calculating your expected value, in the world where you do hit the unicorn or it does work or whatever, you get more money.
But in the world where it fails, I understand what you're saying, but I don't believe this ever happens. I've never heard of anybody talking about this happens. I don't think that there are risky VC funds. I don't think that there are risky, equity places where they're like, you know, the capital gains is 20%, so we're not going to make this investment. But at 15%, we would do this ultra risky investment. I don't think this happens. I don't think that this is
exactly
cash out of
what people do. Mm-hmm. In fact, they talk about whether they're going to bring in money from offshoring into the United States. Like when the tax cuts happened, a huge amount of offshore money that had been, you know, kind of stashed away in semi-legal ways was suddenly brought in the legal ways, because they were like, oh, we need to go and bring in this money. This is one of the big things that Arthur Laffer of the Laffer Curve talks about when he was trying to make sure that the 2017 tax cuts still kept the budget balanced, because you were going to bring in a huge number of investment that is left offshore and is now going to come in because you are going to pay the lower 21% rate.
Every time I've heard a billionaire guy talk about this, I've never heard of anybody talk about like the capital gains rate is killing me on this or something like that. Generally,
just never heard someone say the capital gains rate is killing me on this. People move because of the capital gains rate.
Not from the United States of America. Maybe out of like the Netherlands or Norway.
They mostly
or something,
don't
but...
leave the United States of America because we have an exit tax, wherein if you try
no,
to
no, our capital gains rates are all States, of our rates are pretty low in the United States, generally speaking.
Yeah, they're much lower now, but they're not as low in places like the Caribbean islands and other places like that. There are things people do where they try to run money through liquid. Through their life insurance. There are an enormous number of attempted tax loopholes to get around these things, which are either somewhat legal, semi-legal, or risky. And when you reduce the cost of paying the non-semi-legal problem, people are going to opt into doing that more, which is why you get greater investment when you lower taxes. It's just one of many reasons why. Like, do you not, like, the Laffer curve clearly happens. Why do you think the Laffer curve happens?
I mean, there's going to be an optimal rate of taxation. I'm going to agree with you that 2%,
right?
Like, well, like I would say that like 98% tax, 98% tax is better than 99% tax, right? You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
2% tax is better than 1% tax, right?
Well, it's more revenue, but it's worse on some things, right?
Wait, hold on. 99% is worse than 98%, right?
Yeah.
Is 2% better than 1%?
It is going to bring more revenue to the federal government.
Okay, wait, do you think the optimal tax is zero?
I think the optimal income tax rate is probably getting close to zero as we slash almost all of our programs. But we need to pay off our national debt. We need to do all kinds of things.
Sure. Let's assume – so I don't think any economics forum or any poll or any study or anything would agree that we should have no tax programs or anything. And there's no country on the planet you could point to with a successful model of this. But let's say
tax rate of 2% is better than of 1%.
Sure.
Let's say that
I were to grant you all of this, okay? What do we do about the exploding deficit and our constantly growing debt, of which Trump is responsible for like 30% of now? Like, hasn't he failed?
Yeah, you slashed the budget.
Do you think that Kamala would be spending as much as Trump is? The guy who asked for 90
She
billion?
Was campaigning with Liz Cheney. The idea that Kamala Harris wasn't part of the uniparty war party idea is just like.
Wait. Did Biden go to war with Iran?
Biden did not go to war
Trump
with Iran,
did, though,
but Trump
right?
didn't go to war with Iran in his first term. And so there's something different.
What did Trump do in his first term? He tore up the JCPOA, right? He endorsed Israel moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And he also engaged in the unilateral surrender to the Taliban in Afghanistan. These were all foreign policy. And he abandoned our Kurdish allies in Syria. And he bombed a Syrian airport. Right, Trump did plenty of aggressive actions in his first term, and now the JCPOA is gone, no nuclear deal, and now we had to bomb them in Trump's second term because we thought they were getting nukes. Don't you think like cutting up the nuclear deal and then bombing them in your second term because you're worried they're getting nukes? Can't we like tie maybe a line to between these two actions? Or like maybe these are
the
like,
$2.6 billion that they paid them
how many billions of dollars now in sanction relief and running the Strait of Hormuz is Iran projected to get? It's in the tens of billions now, right? So even from the money making thing,
yeah, the war in Iran has been a disaster. No, trust me.
But Kamala wouldn't have done this. Kamala wouldn't have done
this. Of course she would have. She was campaigning with Liz Cheney.
Yes, because Liz Cheney was a never Trump who was on the J6 Select Committee, who was investigating Trump and the Republican Party for crimes.
Yeah, but they're all like this. Like Barack Obama had the same defense secretary as George W. Bush did. The idea
and Barack
that
Obama
Trump
signed the JCPOA with Iran, the nuclear deal. He felt like Israel,
right, which
Israel
was
felt
a
like
disastrous deal. Like
really?
You can have two bad things at the same time.
Well, okay, you can call it a disastrous deal, but it was the opposite of invading Iran. So maybe you could argue that Kamala would have been too friendly towards Iran, but I don't know how you could argue that Kamala would have gone to war with Iran the same way that Trump did. Biden didn't go to war with Iran. Iran attacked Israel. We didn't go to war with them.
The problem is the stages of this. When you are too nice to Iran, you then allow them to develop things like this. But we actually didn't need to bomb them. We didn't need to do this.
Okay, wait. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. Because under Obama, who was nice to Iran, there were no nuclear weapons and we didn't attack Iran. And then under Trump, he tore up the JCPOA, and then Iran, for the first time in their history, actually did drone attacks on Saudi Arabian refineries directly, okay? And then Biden came in. I don't know if we talked much about Iran under Biden. Iran tried to attack Israel the last time, but Biden didn't go full war against Iran afterwards. And then Trump came in, who's a real mean, tough guy, and now we've gone to war with Iran a second time where we're engaged in full regime change. So make this make sense for me. How is it being nice to Iran bad, but being mean to Iran is good, when now that we've been mean to them twice under Trump, both times has been a disaster? I don't know how to make this make sense for me.
So there's different degrees of meanness, not being in the JCPOA versus bombing them in the 12-day war, that's different. And the 12-day war versus this newest Iran war, that's different.
Yeah, they're all stages of aggression, though, but they're all from one to the next, right? They tore up the JCPOA, which was a nuclear deal, and now he's attacking them out of nukes.
You could not read the JCPOA and not need to go to war in Iran. The Iranian Ayatollah has said that it was against their religion to form nuclear weapons. The incentive structure for them to do it is not high there.
I agree. The incentive then Biden didn't do it, though, but then Trump did. So how do we explain that? Why would we think that Kamala would? Biden didn't. Trump did.
Because, like, I'm not
we know that Netanyahu tried to get Biden to go to war with Iran, and Biden said, fuck you. He said no. And then Trump did.
Yeah, and it's incorrect for Trump to have done that. But the idea that Harris wouldn't have done this just doesn't make sense.
But
this
makes perfect
was
sense.
The pressure.
She was the vice president under Biden. She didn't. Biden didn't do it. Why
people like Hillary Clinton campaigned on bombing Iran. Like no. There is within the Democratic Party, there has been a huge push to do this at various points, and other points there's not. Because
just,
every
this
single
is not
politician
true. I can't argue
always,
this is fantasy. This is fantasy. It didn't happen under Biden. There's a huge push under the Democratic Party to do it. Then it would have been the perfect time to do it when Iran attacked Israel. I can't think of a better time in all of U.S. history to attack Iran than when Iran starts trying to bomb Israel.
There's not
Israel.
A push from the people. There's a push from the leadership.
But the leadership didn't do it. There was less. Who killed Soleimani? That was Donald Trump. He assassinated him in Iraq.
And that was actually a good thing to kill Soleimani.
That's fine that you say that, but it was an aggressive action towards Iran. Every single stage of aggression, Bush put them on the axis of evil. And then Trump did all of the – he did an assassination. He's constantly talking about them. He tore up the JCPOA. He supported Israel over and over again. And now we bombed them twice. And now we've killed 35 of their leaders. But you're just saying that was like, well – that's just random, and it could have happened under Kamala, even though none of this happened. What was the worst thing under the 4 years of Biden that we did to Iran, with all this leadership supposedly pushing for
nothing.
It?
No.
So then how can we say, where was the huge push from the Democratic Party?
Because it's the same leadership.
It's not, though. What do you mean? They didn't do anything, though. Why didn't they do anything if they had all the same leadership pushing for it? Why did Netanyahu prefer Trump over Biden?
Oh, because Donald Trump is more pro-Israel than Biden is.
And pro-Israel is probably why we attacked Iran, right?
I mean, that could be why we attacked Iran.
So then Kamala wouldn't have done it. Kamala wouldn't have done it.
I think that this war propaganda has been so unclear that I actually don't know why we attacked Iran.
Well, we do know now. It was because Netanyahu went in and he danced for a little bit on a table and played a mixtape for Trump. And Trump was like, let's go. And then now we're at war with Iran. She came to war with Iran.
No. It wasn't because Netanyahu breakdanced. Like, what?
What do we think it is? It seems like Netanyahu went in, showed him some sick videos on Twitter, and Trump was like, let's go. Tulsi Gabbard was excluded from the conversation, according to the New York Times article. And Tulsi Gabbard, when she testified in front of Congress, said that the intelligence community was not involved in making the direct assessment that Iran was a current threat to the United States of America. She's testified to that in front of Congress under oath. And the reporting from the New York Times
wasn't a direct threat to the United States of
America. So then who told them it was? Seems like Netanyahu came in, if we're to believe the New York Times story, said that they were. And now here we are. And nobody around Trump nobody can tell him no on anything because Trump is a sycophant. So I don't know why we think this would have happened under Harris when it didn't happen under Biden, and there's no indication that it would have. Like, it would, if it was going to happen under Harris, I think it would have happened under Biden. I don't even think the U.S. would have necessarily been mad if it happened under Biden, because Iran started launching drones and missiles all across the Middle East. Qatar, we had drone interceptions with Saudi Arabia, with Jordan, with I think destroyers that we had in the Mediterranean. We had Israel intercepting. We watched a Palestinian die, I think, as a missile fell on him in the West Bank. Like, that would have been the perfect time to go to war with Iran, and it didn't happen. The amount of charity here you got to give the Trump side is insane. We went to this war because Trump was in office and he's a weak man who gives in to strong leaders. And he gave in to Netanyahu. Biden didn't. Harris wouldn't have.
With
that might be true. I don't know. That this is the most convincing argument you've made today.
Okay. I mean, I think I've been right on every other argument as well.
I mean, obviously, you think you've been right on everything else too. Like,
the debt wouldn't be as high, right? Kamala Harris wouldn't be asking for an extra $500 billion for the an extra $500 billion for the military, right? We wouldn't need an extra $90 billion for. Wait, you don't know what you think she would have asked for an extra $500 billion for the military that's not going to war with Iran?
I think the expansion of the military into the war party, which is the uniparty, regardless of that, would have happened regardless.
So then did Trump lie when he said that Biden was cutting military spending and Biden was leaving the military weak? Was Trump just lying when he said that?
I think Biden's pullout of Afghanistan, which started under Trump in many ways, but then was instituted much more poorly by the end through Joe Biden, was weak. But I think Joe Biden's mass spending on military campaigns in Ukraine and other things, I don't think this idea that the war party only exists under the Republicans is true.
You can
I
say
think
that.
Democrats often have the same administration.
You can say that, but Biden
do.
Pulled us out of the Saudi coalition in Yemen. Biden was the one who finally followed through. It was a negotiated deal, but Biden was the one that finally pulled us out of Afghanistan. Trump has bombed.
And you
like
think that
nine...
was good? Do you think the way that Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan was good?
No, it was negotiated horrendously, but I don't know how else it could have happened. I commend Biden for sticking to it, but less people died in the horrendous Afghanistan pullout that gave the Taliban control of territory so unknown that the Afghanistan army didn't even know. Like, there was an Office of Inspector General report that went over this, that the Taliban would roll into a city, the Afghanistan army would be ready to fight, and the Taliban would be like, oh no, this land is actually promised to us, and they just run away. They have no idea what was even going on. All of that was negotiated in Doha by Trump with the Taliban, without the Afghanistan army even included. They weren't even included there. Trump was so ass-pained about Afghanistan, that was one of the things that Milley fought him on when Trump came out of office. He was like, I'm going to pull every soldier out of there. And he was like, yeah, we're not doing that. That's not happening. That was one of the things they ignored him on, and where he was so ass-pained about it. But like, yeah, it could have gone better, but less people died in Afghanistan in that pullout than have died in our whatever operation in Iran. I don't know what the purpose of this was.
I'm not supportive of the intervention in Iran. No, I'm not going to pretend that was gone well at all.
Sure. But I don't see where they're spending like our huge budget items, this insane war in Iran. Like, you can talk about stuff in Ukraine, but I think Biden, for the most part, was extricating us from conflicts in the Middle East. And all Trump has done, Trump has been excited to bomb everything. He's bombed like 9 different countries so far. He's bombed so many different places. It's insane.
No, the idea that the Trump bombings are only under Trump. I mean, the Barack Obama had records for bombings. George, I mean,
go on. He did, but we're not talking about Obama.
Iraq almost every other day.
We're not talking about Obama. We're talking about what Harris would have done. And I think Biden was extricating us from conflicts as much as he could. And I think Trump likes to be involved in conflicts as much as he can. He likes to drone strike people and bomb people and send the military. We wouldn't be doing anything in South America, right? We wouldn't have had that whole mission, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that was a problem at all. I think that probably, like, just the kidnapping of Maduro seems to have been a good thing.
Okay, you can say that, but in terms of all these military costs, these are all things that are being incurred by the Trump admin that wouldn't have been incurred by the Harris administration. So I think that our budget would have been more under control with Kamala Harris. Also, we wouldn't have reinstated, you said yourself, the Trump tax cuts. That's a huge revenue raiser for the federal government.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
No, because this was the entire thing that Arthur Laffer put together on the Trump tax cuts, which is that the revenue stayed consistent after the tax cuts.
I don't know what that revenue staying consistent.
Government revenue stayed consistent after the tax cuts. The idea that the tax cuts blew a hole in the deficit is not true.
It's not that they blew a hole in the deficit. It's that they increased the deficit more than it would have been otherwise.
No, they didn't do that. That's not true.
Okay, I'm pretty sure the Congressional Budget Office disagrees, and I'm pretty sure every budget analysis that's ever been done on those tax cuts show them as being massively blowing out the budget. But I don't know where Like, yeah, I don't know how we could ever. We get like, I don't know what analysis is saying. In terms of the Trump tax cuts, that there was a negligible impact. I'm not. The CBO estimated the 2017 Trump tax cuts would increase the federal deficit by roughly $1.5 to $1.9 trillion over 10 years.
Yeah, I'm just disagreeing. These estimates are not counting into effect the mass amounts of increased productivity that happened as a result of
there
them.
There was no massive increased productivity, though. It didn't happen. Instead, our economy is getting stymied even more by these stupid fucking tariffs and the uncertainty of the war environment that Trump is creating for no reason.
The tariffs are reverting us back to the levels of productivity that were predicted in the late Obama administration, which were much lower than than what actually happened in the Trump administration. Where we were talking, all these economists were talking about how we're probably never going to break much past 2% GDP growth, like ever again.
That wasn't like a scientific estimate, though. That was just like we were having some slow years, and economists were like, we're not sure if the 3% year-over-year GDP growth is a thing that could be indefinitely supported by capitalism. But it's the same argument. You want to bring up the Laffer curve. This is the lump of labor fallacy, the idea that, like, oh, we're becoming so productive, we can't increase our economy, like, we've grown too much. Like people have been saying this shit since I was a fucking kid. I don't know if we can keep growing the GDP. Like, I don't know, it keeps growing.
And they were wrong.
Yeah.
And the reason that we were able to crush those estimates
was not because of the Trump tax cuts. No.
Yeah, it's because of the increased productivity and it's because of the incentivization of not having the warping on the markets.
No, I don't think they would impact markets. If you want to talk about market distortionary effects, the tariffs have distorted our markets infinitely more than any 2% bump in marginal.
The tariffs have led people to invest in other places. They are harming certain industries at the benefit of other industries, where you yourself were trying to defend some level of protectionism earlier.
I don't defend protectionism on economic grounds. I understand that protectionism, well, you can defend some long-term protectionism, but like I'll defend like national security protectionism, but under the assumption that like I'm not making an economic argument for this. Like if I say we should protect our weapons manufacturing or steel manufacturing, I'm going to acknowledge that we're probably losing money on this, but it's worth it for national security reasons.
Yeah, if you have a fear of having it being developed in China, sure. But if your fear of having it developed in Canada, no.
Sure, but like, I mean, look at how much Trump is attacking the Federal Reserve. He hates Jerome Powell and is fabricating indictments against Jerome Powell because he wants these interest rates to come down so much because he can't handle the debt and he can't handle any of the spending. Look at the complete and total failure of DOGE. That in and of itself is an embarrassment enough to walk away from any, in my opinion, any budget arguments. Look at the, look at all of the pressure on the Office of Labor Statistics. We're like not publishing months now sometimes because we're so afraid of the numbers. Our GDP revision right now was like 1.5% or whatever for last quarter. It was below what we wanted it to be. I think the net job creation over the past year has been zero. Like every single economic indicator is not good.
I mean, we can go through, all of these ideas. But if you take the last one, for example, job creation, jobs are actually a really terrible measurement for the health of an economy, in that because whenever you try to use a measure as a goal, it stops being a good measure. You know, if we were to pay people to dig and fill holes, as the Kamala Harris Green New Deal wanted to have guaranteed federal jobs for everybody, that would be an absolute disaster and not good for an economy.
Yeah, but
when
we
you have
no
increase
evidence.
In federal jobs, the job growth that happened under Joe Biden was largely federal jobs and other state jobs, which are not actually productive for the economy.
So number one, that's absolutely not true. And you don't even have to give Biden credit. You could just say because everybody was coming back from COVID. There's no, like, that was a massive rehiring for the entirety
of the
economy.
Non-COVID jobs. Obviously, sure. The COVID job. Like,
The number of federal governments or the number of jobs in the federal government, I think, has been remarkably consistent over the past, like, I think, like 50 or 60 years. I want to say it's like around like 5 million jobs or something. It's like, it's you can look at the numbers, it's basically just the same. I don't think it ever changes much, including under Biden. Do you think the job growth has been good or bad under Trump compared to where it should be?
Where it should be? No. If we remove the tariffs, if we stop spending as much, if we reduced all these things, it could definitely get better.
Okay, and Trump failed on all of these measures.
Donald Trump has been weak on these economic issues. Because he hasn't been sufficiently capitalist. He spent too much money. He's been too regulatory. He's been too high tax on tariffs. Absolutely. These are problems.
Sure. So if we say that, like, if we got rid of the tariffs and then we got rid of the Trump tax cuts, the government would be making more money, but we also wouldn't be creating the crazy distortionary effects from the tariffs. Our trade relations with the rest of the world wouldn't be ruined. Like, I just don't know how Harris just wouldn't be default better here, just easily, compared to Donald Trump here. Like, it seems like every step Donald Trump has taken economically has put us in a weirder and weirder world where Trump is like buying shares of companies as part of the U.S. government.
Yeah, that's terrible. You won't see me defend that.
We've got
that
like random tariffs that are so random now that in unprecedented manners, there have been two papers now published. The last one I read was on the NPR showing that like generally we expect tariffs to pass on, I think about 50-50 to consumers. These are like 93% passed on to the consumers because exporters aren't even changing their prices now. We've seen arguably a 5 to 10% reduction in the USD against other currencies. Like we're fully it's not good for no reason, too. All of this pain is self-inflicted. Like, none of this was happening under Biden. I don't know why it would have happened under Harris. She wouldn't have done all the tariffs. She wouldn't have attacked all of our allies. She wouldn't have undermined our trade relationships with everybody around the world. There'd be no war spending or war, or at least not the one we're in with Iran and our enemies with South America. So much of this is bad stuff. I just don't see Harris would have done any of this.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I'm saying, she's part of the same uniparty war party. She's from the same background
that same
as Joe Biden,
war party
Barack
that
Obama.
Didn't go to war with Iran.
Yeah, but did handle the Gaza war terribly, handled Afghanistan terribly, spent a huge amount of money in Ukraine.
First of all, Ukraine was defending itself, number one, and it's a worthwhile investment, but that's another thing. But they were defending themselves, number one. Number two, Gaza and Israel is Gaza and Israel. It's not like we could say don't do anything or stop Hamas or whatever. And then the Afghanistan pullout, Biden stuck to, for better or for worse, he stuck to Trump's timeline on pulling out. Do you think Biden should have stayed in Afghanistan?
I do not think he should have pulled out the way he did. No, I think he probably should have stayed at least sufficiently to ensure that we were not going to hand over whatever, how many billions of dollars of
so you think that Biden
machinery.
Should have reneged on the deal that Trump negotiated with the Taliban? He should have gone back on it and torn it up.
I think he should not have pulled out that quickly without previously ensuring that we were safe in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but like, so it should have taken longer or I think
he should have prepared longer and or prepared better. You don't even have to prepare longer. You just have to prepare better. Like it's like to get all of this machinery out is not actually that difficult.
Wait, you can't just take all the machinery. This is a government's military that you helped build up. You can't just steal all their from them now when you've told them that you're setting them up to be a government to resist the Taliban and just bounce. Like the idea was supposed to leave.
Absolutely can. The Taliban was, if we're handing the government over to the Taliban anyway.
We're not supposed to be handing it over to them. We were supposed to be leaving for a strong Afghanistan government to remain there to be able to fight against the Taliban. That was the goal. That was the idea. Otherwise, it's just 20 years of quagmire in Afghanistan for literally no reason. It was like that. And that's what happened. It was complete and total.
Right. So you have to decide either that you are going to pull out completely, in which case you have to remove your machinery as well and allow the Taliban to return.
Correct.
Which, by the way, the people that we were working with over there, they were the guys with the Bazzi Bachi boys who, mass sexually assaulting 12, 11 to 14-year-old boys. So it's not even immediately obvious that the people we replaced them with were that much better. Or at least many of the people who replaced them with were that much better. But
I don't even know. I mean, if that was true, why didn't Trump hire more of these guys at Mar-a-Lago like he had for Epstein, drafting girls away from his massage parlors? Just kidding. What? I mean, like, we can argue whether or not this is a good or bad deal. Or no, we're not arguing that. It was a bad deal. But like, here's a question. If Trump would have remained president, do you think he would have pulled out on his timeline? Or do you think Trump strategically negotiated that timeline to be into the next presidency so he didn't have to deal with it?
I'm actually not sure what Trump was doing on that.
Okay,
idea.
Well, let's look to other things that Trump has negotiated with. That TikTok ban was a thing that he was real excited about for a bit, and then the can got kicked down the road on that. And then when he came back into office, he saw that TikTok was good for him, and he canceled that completely. And now TikTok is still here, even though we got an explicit Supreme Court ruling saying that we could kill TikTok. Trump's like, nah, actually, I changed my mind on that law that Congress passed that I was asking for specifically, and I'm going to keep it around. So I mean,
for sure, Donald Trump's policies have been, I love and hate everything, and all his fans are like half the things this guy is saying. Like, yeah, I mean, Trump is a bullshitter, and he's going to say one thing and mean a different thing.
Okay. I don't think every politician has
been like that. Trump does it more and
Trump
worse.
Trump lies more than any other politician. Trump is on a whole other level
Trump
of just lying.
Trump is just a terrible liar, and he gets caught in lies like, oh, the number of people at my inauguration was more than ever before, and you know all these like nonsense, like loser lies.
He tells big lies too, though. No, like I really won the 2020 election, or Iran is about to attack us, so we've got to go blow up all their nuclear stuff, or Trende Aragua is infiltrating the United States in such a desperate manner that we need to depose the leader of Venezuela, or the borders between Canada and the United States are arbitrary, so we can invade Greenland and take it over. Or Putin and I just negotiated an amazing deal and they're going to stop attacking Ukraine tomorrow. And oh my God, I can't believe they just attacked them again. I can't even believe it. Or, I mean, like, what do you mean? There's a million things. These are all lies that Trump says, or that fentanyl proliferation into the United States is such a threat from the northern border that we have to declare a state of emergency from Canada, or that we have to deport Venezuelans for the United States using war powers acts because we're saying that Venezuela is also at war with us and they're invading our country. What are some Biden lies that are on tier with these lies?
About behind closed doors, he's sharp as a tack.
Compared to Donald Trump, Biden seems like he was Einstein.
No, what?
Can you give me? Okay,
what are you talking about?
We can revisit that.
Donald Trump
talking about the decisions that
long speech. Joe Biden wouldn't show up for a press conference.
Joe Biden showed up for plenty of press conferences. Number one, number two. Donald Trump can't give any speeches. He rambles off the same like three. I can write a Donald Trump speech. The United States is hotter than it's ever been. This is a dead country, and now it's the hottest it's ever been. We've got $17 trillion of investments, and this was a dead country. And like he's the same like it's like slogans. It's some of the most empty speech. I'm curious. In the last 6 or 7 years, can you think of a single insightful thing that Donald Trump has ever said about domestic policy, about foreign policy, about literally fucking anything?
No, I don't think Donald Trump knows his policy very well. I mean, he was the guy who said he has concepts of a plan for his healthcare plan.
Yeah, so,
but his healthcare plan is so much better than the Democratic plan of trying to continue to subsidize Obamacare and just pump an infinite amount of money into everything, like Kamala Harris, who wanted to give healthcare free to illegal immigrants. And so Donald Trump's concepts of a plan where he just defaults to his Republican advisors who actually have the real plans,
illegal immigrants,
someone like Scott Bessent and other people.
Sure, it's Bessent's retarded. So illegal immigrants can't get health care, so I don't know what that means. They're not going
to
get like
Kamala
any...
Harris wanted to give them health care.
No, you can't. That's not
she
even possible.
She wanted to give them free state-funded health care.
No, first of all, state-funded through Medicare or Medicaid wouldn't even... No, this was never
yes,
going to happen.
Yes, her Medicare plan.
No.
She raised her hand on
no.
that stage. We
no.
saw it.
No.
It was on camera.
No,
again.
No.
I'm pretty sure this
had to do with whether or not they were entitled to like emergency health care at like a hospital, not do they get insurance provided by the United States government. Okay, number one. Number two, what is... So... you know what? Actually, before we look at other lies, I'm curious. On the Biden thing, can you give me, besides Biden sucking in that one debate, what is an example? Can you give me, like cash this out, like an actual policy thing that happened? What is an example of, like, Biden being senile, of, like, evidence of, like, Biden senility?
I mean, every single time we ever
then
heard
give me
him
one.
Talk.
Give me one example. What's the thing that he said that was so wrong and fucked so hard?
No, I think that really hard. No, those don't exist because he barely talked. He stayed behind.
Maybe Trump could learn
he was
from
in
that.
His basement,
maybe
though, you know.
Maybe Trump should not talk as much. Maybe we'd be doing
no,
a lot
I
better.
I actually agree. I think it'd be better if Trump talked less.
Okay, in terms of like who speaks substantively about anything, right? Did you ever see Biden? So when Trump signs executive orders, it seems like he doesn't even know what they're about. Somebody hands it to them, they explain what it is, and then he signs it, clearly having never read
it's
it before.
It's not even obvious Biden was signing all of his own executive orders with the auto pen stuff.
But we can, first of all, they dropped the auto pen investigation. You admit that was a total lie made up by the Trump administration, right?
The investigation, yeah, the whole everything Trump has tried to investigate has gone poorly. It's been a disaster.
It was a lie told. There was no evidence for any auto penning. That was a lie. There was no evidence for any auto penning because we can watch Biden sign some of the executive orders on stage after he gives a speech about what they are and why they're important to him. Trump just has things explained to him and then handed to him. So in that evidence, I would say it seems like Trump is more senile than Biden is when it comes to executive orders because Trump doesn't even know what he's signing.
I mean, you're not going to get me saying that the thing about Donald Trump is that he surrounds himself with the people who are then writing the policies, which on the economic policies outside of the tariffs have been much stronger than anything that's come out of the Democratic administration.
But they're not really, though, are they? Who's writing policy around him? You've got all he does is he does tariffs. What is the economic policy? The one thing that you maybe could have gotten credit for would have been the renegotiation of NAFTA to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. And he blew that up with his tariffs. What is the trade policy that has come from Bessent? Or Lutwick, what is our trade? Where is our trade policy or economic?
You won't hear me defend Lutwick.
Trade or economic policy have we gotten that's good?
Trade policies, no, but the tax policy is excellent.
So
the reduction of regulations across many different industries have been excellent.
Maybe. I mean, we had more airplane crashes. We were kind of going crazy with that at the beginning of the year. And I don't know if the fact that he was making cuts to people that were working in control towers and everything was related to was the airplane crashes or not. I mean, who's to say? But like,
yeah, I don't think that's likely. I mean, the regulations that we would have seen out of the Harris administration's looking at things like AI, where she was talking about ensuring that the benefits of AI are shared equitably, or about using regulation to prevent alleged algorithmic discrimination. Mm-hmm. The benefits that we need to see out of AI development, you're talking about competing with our competitors, and you're talking about trying to subsidize various industries to compete with our competitors. What about regulating these industries to reduce our ability to compete with competitors?
Maybe regulating them would make it a better thing, that we don't have like the highly concentrated amount of power and wealth in a few companies that could theoretically pack up and leave the United States at any point in time, or could be in control of like parts of the economy or parts of our national security in ways that we're unable to see at that point. Like, unless you think literally all regulation is bad and people that are involved in developing any technology should have absolutely no oversight, or what's worse, Trump and his friends are in bed with them in terms of crony making money off of it. Like,
I'm opposed to nearly all regulation.
Okay, but that's
full. And you're not going to hear me defend this idea that regulation is. I'm opposed to central planning. I am extremely in favor of allowing the market to build the most efficient ideas. And I'm extremely in favor, especially, of allowing the market to build the most efficient ideas in places where we need to compete for the sake of our national security. You're talking about energy and all the problems of like, oh, well, we need more energy. We need to compete with China. We need to do this. We need to do that. And now you're also simultaneously trying to talk about regulating the industry that we are actually most likely to compete with China on.
Like, yeah, I don't think all regulation
is
bad.
More efficient?
It depends. Well, maximum efficiency in the short term, especially, is not always the best thing.
No, the market maximizes for long term efficiency.
Not necessarily.
The state maximizes for short term efficiency.
That's absolutely not necessarily true. And no, the state has the ability to endure much longer term optimization than a corporation can.
No,
because
the state is responsible to the voter, who has the shortest term responsibility.
But the state can afford to take on bad investments that a private owner will never take on, because competing investments are always going to pay more.
Competing investments don't always pay more when you allow these companies to not be regulated, and then ultimately you reap the rewards of having entered an industry with an extremely small amount of competitors because it's so hard to get into.
Well, yeah, but it's also going to be
like central planning.
It's going to be much more risky
as well. There's no principle
to
this. How much should it be regulated? How much should it be subsidized?
It's not a matter of how much. Is that maybe there are some regulations? Okay, do you think that there should be AI child porn?
No, I don't believe in AI. I think child porn should be illegal.
Oh, so then you agree with some regulations?
Yeah, I believe in
why wouldn't the market
to protect
figure
children.
Out why wouldn't the market figure out how to more optimally create child porn?
Oh, it would. It would figure out the optimal way to create that. I just don't think that's something that we should do.
Oh, okay.
Like, if
so then,
it's something
so then, can
that you
we
think
use,
should happen,
yeah, so wait,
the market
wait, so
is
maybe,
the best
maybe
way
it might
to do
be
it.
That deep faking nudes of people that don't want their nudes deep faked, or it might be that algorithmically crawling through all of social media to create the best bots to mind fuck us on Twitter or whatever. These might be things that the market can make quote unquote efficient, and that they return money to shareholders at increased values, but they're bad socially, like child porn would be. Maybe?
No, you don't get to pick and choose what's bad socially.
Didn't you just say you would outlaw child porn? Do you think spam mail is good? If you could outlaw all spam mail, like spam texts and spam mail from India, would you outlaw that if you could make that illegal or regulate that out of existence?
I think there might be some ideas of regulating out fraud and other kinds of corruption. I think certainly lying about people is a thing. But no, I'm making an exception for children, because I think children are accepted from the sort of rational, you know, maximizing of your utility function space.
Why?
Like,
are you in favor of private schools, or do you think that we should have public schools?
I don't believe in public schools.
Okay, well, that's about children, isn't it? Why are you in favor of private schools here over public schools?
So, because you're not harm. I'm in favor of protecting children from harm, in the same way that I am in favor of, like, I think it should be illegal to make porn of, like, if I were to make porn of you, I think that should be illegal as well on AI. And so I think that you can protect
point of adults, but that would require more regulation, no?
That would require the same regulations of, against revenge porn and other things.
Okay, but you would need like a body to regulate this. You'd need some level of insight into the companies.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not arguing for an anarcho-capitalist state. I'm arguing for a protection of only your individual rights. I think a government should protect your rights.
Okay, do you think you should have protections against like spam or against like data harvesting on the internet? Like if I go to google.com, should Google have the right to collect a cookie from me and then transmit that to every other advertisers on the internet to track my activity across every single browser?
Yeah, they already do basically these kind of things.
I'm saying that if you could theoretically create some regulation around this, do you think you would?
I would probably I would like people to be more aware of what is happening. And I think that it would be good if these companies were, and I think it would be useful to make sure that the companies are required to tell you what they're selling.
Sure. I don't disagree with you there, but you're picking and choosing what you think is moral and socially protectable, right? Like that's, which is fine. We do that all the time, but like if we found out that there is a way to AI optimize the paperclip machine algorithm or whatever, and we know that if you optimize down that road, it's going to destroy the entire planet. Like if there was a way to regulate our way against that, wouldn't we want to do that?
If you knew that something was going to destroy the entire world, then sure. But that's just not the case.
Well, it could be, right?
I guess if we presuppose that that was the case, then that would be the case.
What if we presuppose? Yes. What if there was a thing that you could literally torch, commit arson against? You set this thing on fire, but it makes producing and transporting stuff really cheap. But we know that there's like a long-term cost to burning this stuff, and the stuff goes into the atmosphere and it builds up the carbon dioxide.
So this will be about an externality. And I do believe in a Pigouvian tax to internalize an externality.
Okay, but an externality definitionally is some kind of force that's not captured directly by the market, which is the thing you're going to have to socially value. So you're making these same social calls, right?
But you make an economic evaluation of that.
Yeah, but you're making an economic value of a thing that you're placing a social value around, right? There's not, who's to say pollution is necessarily bad? Maybe we can just breathe polluted air. If anything, you could argue.
Well, you could measure the damage that is caused by breathing polluted air.
Yeah, but you have to choose who you value and who you don't. I bet there's a whole bunch of people that sell air conditioners that love global warming. So you have to choose.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
talking about. I don't believe in a Pigouvian tax for global warming because the damage from global warming is so insignificant.
Well, how? I mean, that's your perspective. I mean, other people would disagree, and I think that we have seen enough general warming now related to the parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that it does seem like there are very real warming effects. I mean, it just seems like we're having hotter year after hotter year after hotter year on record. And by the time, like, this might be an example of a thing you would have to regulate or put tax on, because by the time this becomes too pressing of a problem, it's too late to make the investment. No.
No, this is not true. Okay. The idea that humans can't respond to environmental impacts. No, this is one of the things that we are most well adapted to respond to. We can build dikes in places like, you know, in Western Europe. We are extremely good at all kinds of adaption. When you end up with problems of like, oh, well, we've messed up these fields, it got too hot, you just move further north. In fact, actually heating the environment so that way you can have more land available in places like Canada and Russia, which, you know, you look at a map, or, you know, there's an enormous amount of land up there. There's more land in the global north than there is in the global south. There's less land at the equators in a lot of ways. The idea that these impacts, that these effects are actually negative is not immediately obvious. It's also not immediately obvious that we're causing these impacts.
We do know that right now we have an ecosystem set up with markets and food delivery and everything else that we seem to be able to support everybody on the planet. We don't know if that would be the case necessarily if the climate warms. And just because you're good at adapting doesn't mean that where you're at after the adaptation is better than where you were before. We have artificial hearts
nearly
now. We can put somebody on bypass,
I've
but it's better to have
an
your heart
and
your
regulation
kidney.
That doesn't make it worse.
Look at the smog in California from the 90s to today. The city is producing way more energy and everything else. It's got more people living in it, and it's a much more breathable, livable city. Compare that to how like Shanghai or Beijing or whatever look. You know, you've got like smog alerts every single day. You can barely see in front of your face.
Yeah, I think these are issues that can be handled by local governments, not by federal governments.
It's a regulation, local, state, federal. It's still a regulation at some point, no?
That's an extremely different thing, though, because your local government is now able to be more accountable to the people who are suffering this direct externality.
I mean, I guess you can say that, but a regulation is a regulation is a regulation. Like whether it's a local, state, or federal regulation, no?
No, but so my principle against regulation is against the idea of people using power to enforce other people to do things. But the more localized you get to that, the more the people who are actually making these decisions are the ones involved in the decisions.
Sure, but theoretically, the less efficient those decisions could be. There's going to be some efficiencies potentially gained by being more local, but if you're going to have to duplicate this bureaucratic infrastructure throughout every single municipality, like theoretically it could become less efficient as well, right? There might be lessons
learned.
No,
that's always more efficient.
What do you mean it's always more efficient? If that was the case, then there would be no large corporations ever. There would be no Walmart. It would just be local stores in every single city across the entire planet.
No, the incentive to run a business and to run a government are not the same. The idea of conglomerating and building higher level efficiency through vertical and horizontal integration in a company does not exist the same way in a government.
How not?
Because they're not under a profit motive.
But it doesn't matter. You can still have all of the same types of efficiency gains, like the economy of scale, or the fact
they're
that
they're not incentivized the same way.
They not necessarily the exact same way, but they still spend money. They still have budgets, right?
Sort of. It runs, you know, $39 trillion.
Well, the federal government does, but not cities and states can't print money the same way. They have to be much more budget conscientious.
I would argue, which is why it's a much bigger deal and much more reasonable to have the regulations at a local level. The lower you go, the less power you have to just do whichever you want.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends on how you negotiate. But I mean, like, it's hard to do local regulations around, like, say, like the cleanliness that you have for polluting a river. Right? Like, how do you regulate your neighbors upstream from that? You probably need the state, or if it's outside of the state, the federal government to be involved, right?
I mean, if you're talking about interstate commerce things, yes. That's one of the few things the federal government should be involved in. Like that's actually what, you know, Article 1 says, is interstate commerce. And then we've decided through the Commerce Clause to expand it to basically everything, but almost all of our regulations are actually unconstitutional under the first article in 9th and 10th Amendments.
I don't know if I would agree with that. The Supreme Court doesn't agree with that. But
no, the Supreme Court is wrong, is basically what I'm saying.
That's fine, but the Supreme Court is part of the Constitution, and the Constitution has allowed for the Supreme Court to make judgments about what is law. So if you think the Supreme Court is incorrect on a thing, like as ubiquitous as that, then I feel
Are there any things you think the Supreme Court is incorrect on?
Yeah, there are decisions I disagree with, but that's a pretty foundational one.
So the Supreme Court can be incorrect then?
Yeah, but you're talking about like 90% of like the federal government is what you're disagreeing on.
Yeah, no, I disagree with the government more than you do. I'm less pro government than you
are. Yeah, but
I
don't think this is a matter of a sliding scale. I think this is like of an in kind. Like there's going to be there could be a friend that I have like 1% disagreements with, or 5% disagreements with, or 3% disagreements with, but I think I would treat them differently than somebody I have like 90% disagreements with. This is like a substantially different thing. Like if I tell you like, oh, if you ask me, is this guy trustworthy? And I'm like, yeah, you know, like 5% of what he says can be kind of off. And you're like, okay, yeah, he's generally trustworthy. Or if I tell you this guy's like 95% off, you'd say, oh, I'm not going to listen to anything this guy says. So if you agree with like 10% of what the Supreme Court says.
So great that it becomes of kind,
essentially. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it is still a scale.
Well, I mean, theoretically, I guess. Okay, where do you want to go, James? Or I don't know, I feel like...
This is a great opportunity to jump into the Q&A. Folks, oh wait, I'm muted. 2 seconds. Folks, I know I was muted. Let me catch you up. We're going to jump into the Q&A. And if you had not seen, if you've been living in a cave on Mars with your fingers in your ears, DebateCon 8 this summer, July 25th and 26th in Dallas, Destiny versus Dinesh, part 2 on Trump. Among many other big, beautiful debates there, it is going to be huge. Not So Erudite versus Rachel Wilson. Loner Box versus Andrew Wilson. It's going to be amazing. Been watching a lot of Jesse lately. But yes, this is the... Let me go into this. Stephen, I have these fond memories of your interview with Jesse. Good times. But... This one coming in from. Do you talk to Jesse often? Do you stay in touch?
No. I don't even know if that guy can use email or phone or whatever.
What the? This one from Robin Webster says, Trump should have went to jail with Jeffrey. If you want to respond, Jake, you can. Otherwise, if you're like, okay, we can go to the next one too. It's up to you.
I mean, maybe. I'm extremely concerned with the fact that it doesn't look like he was investigated sufficiently. Is if it turns out that he should have gone to jail, he should have gone to jail. If it turns out he shouldn't, then he shouldn't have. But I, as an American voter and citizen, I want to know. And maybe he should have. And it's kind of an enormous problem to me that we don't know.
You know what might have happened if Trump wasn't president when he was being investigated?
Say again?
Do you think if it wasn't Trump, if it was instead a Democrat, maybe they would have appointed a special prosecutor?
I think they had 4 years. They could have done that.
Well, no, but I mean, he died under Trump. Epstein did.
Yeah, but there's still more stuff to investigate.
Okay, supposedly.
Like, just because he's dead doesn't mean the whole thing is gone. It's not over.
Okay.
Maybe you think it is, but I think there are still victims out there who might need justice.
This one from, do appreciate it as well. Pokemon fan 001, question for Destiny. Will you debate Manar Reports? Is this Manar Reports a sock account? He's considered the king of debates. He's already destroyed tomfoolery, Not So Erudite, IRI, Parker, and even Andrew Wilson and Rob Noir in a one versus one debate.
I'll think about it, okay?
Rudy Mendoza says, Destiny, thoughts on why Andrew Wilson would debate Owen Schroyer on the success of Trump's presidency and not debate the topic with you instead?
He's probably taking an anti-Trump position, is my guess.
What if Do you guys have thoughts of debating Andrew on that very topic, Stephen?
Andrew won't debate me on anything related to Trump on the substance. It'll just be on definitions.
Robin Webster says, Destiny cooking, W. Rudy Mendoza says, does Wilson have a definition for insurrection yet? RuneScape fan says, when will we see the Destiny RuneScape arc? I want to see Destiny attempt an infernal cape, and an Autoblock Destiny collab would be huge.
Oh, we'll see.
Who's Autoblock?
I have no idea, so probably not.
This is from Flavius Asinasis. Says, Stephen, it seems to be the pinnacle of anti-Epstein while he has publicly spoken about being flashed. Okay. Allegedly nice. Talked about being flashed by an 8-year-old and laughed about the incident on stream. So, Destiny, why should we trust your side?
Yeah, it sounds like you shouldn't. It's not good.
This one from Taco Face Fart. MAGA has no feet pick game. Viking Crusader says, all jokes aside and off topic, Destiny, why does your jaw move like that? Steven, they want to know why your jaw has a particular move or rhythm.
It's because I'm streaming so many hours in the day. I've got to do lines of coke when I'm like 6 or 7 hours in, and it's just a side effect of it, you know?
Wow. Let me just check for any last questions. You have a beautiful jaw movement. This one from Ingarten Stan 420 says, Destiny, would you debate Dave if he is willing? Who's Dave?
I have no idea.
Is this some sort of... Oh, okay. Six Dutch says, what is the biggest conspiracy Jake believes in, largest in scale?
Epstein.
Wow. Steven, do you have thoughts on Epstein? Is he... Do you think that he really did die?
I think everything that's been investigated... This has been my position for a long time. I don't think there's going to be anything huge or anything new that comes out of it, but... Everybody hits up, take a mind, but I mean, so far, nothing's happened, but I guess we'll see. Who knows?
Okay. Who do you think is going to be the 2020, or that would be the 2030 nominee, right? No, that's got to be 2028. Nominee for the Democratic Party. Steven, are there any front runners?
I have no idea. I mean, everybody is saying Newsom, but it's like, it's so early. Who's to say one way or the other? Who knows?
Okay. Do you have any guesses for the front runner for the right?
I have no clue. It's just so early. There's so much can happen in 2 years, you know?
Yeah. With that, that appears to be our questions, folks. Want to say, check out our guest links in the description box. We do appreciate them. The debaters make this exciting. They make this fun. And so check out their links right now. And in fact, go even and subscribe. Even if you disagree, there's value in hearing it from someone that you disagree with, straight from them. But yes, thank you very much, Stephen and Jake. It's been a true pleasure to have you tonight.
Thank you very much. Yeah.